let's get started with the film reviews with
Stephen Russell.
Hello, boys. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. And I feel like we're in for a real treat this week, David. I know that you have been itching to chat about Rocketman.
Yeah, well, because me being me, I haven't been to see it yet, but I am going to go and see this one.
Look, I can guarantee you're going to love this.
One of the Melbourne papers only gave it 2 stars, and the other one gave it 4 stars, which is very interesting.
Well, let's just say that I'm on the 4-star end of that scale.
Right, okay.
And although, it's kind of an interesting story, because I would give Bohemian Rhapsody 2 stars.
Right, yes,
which,
I remember.
People loved that one.
Yeah, but I understand that, because I did see that.
Yep.
And I do understand where you were coming from with
that,
because it was a little bit too fluffy, wasn't it?
Well,
really?
Look, and here's where it gets really interesting. So basically what we've got, this is directed by Dexter Fletcher, who infamously had to come in and finish Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's right.
In the final stretch, like,
yep.
I think 2 or 3 weeks out from finishing, when the director was fired.
Yeah.
So he didn't really have the same oversight that he has here, where he's worked on the project from the start. And what this is, it's a biopic of, you know, the early years of Elton John, and becoming, you know, going from suburban, kind of a pretty unhappy childhood, but not the worst childhood, working class, but certainly not the worst.
Yeah.
And really, you know, in a very short space of time, much like Queen, you know, rocketing to global stardom. And it deals with a lot of the same issues that we saw with Freddie Mercury, of, you know, drink and drug addiction. But whereas that previous film, I felt, was quite judgmental in its approach to that, and kind of lost sight of the fact that he was a joyous person, that clearly, you know, it wasn't all an act. Freddie was, you know, a one of a kind,
yep.
and the world loved him for that reason.
Yep.
And this film, it gets that balance better, I think. What it also does, well, look, Taron Egerton, who was in Kingsman, is brilliant as Elton John. He just really, he does a great performance. And unlike Rami Malek with Bohemian Rhapsody, he
yep.
actually performs all of
That's
the vocals.
Right. Yeah.
As well.
Really?
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of, you know, that on its own is, when you're dealing with someone like Elton John, you know, that it's an incredible vocal performance here.
Absolutely.
And he holds his own with yep. it. He really does. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. Who we've also got here, we've got 2 brilliant actors as his kind of wingmen here as well. You've got Billy Elliot's Jamie Bell, who plays Bernie, you know, his long-term writer,
yep.
and their complicated relationship. And also, it's quite strange, I guess, where people really loved the scenes in Bohemian Rhapsody of the band, you know, coming together to create the songs, but Bernie and Elton have a strange sort of distant relationship.
Yeah.
You know, Bernie delivers the words, then Elton goes off and figures out the music.
Yeah, it really is. I found, like, over the years, I've found it always fascinating how they do write together.
Yeah,
unusual. It really is very unusual. Yeah.
And so, look, I mean, that sort of creates a slightly different dynamic. But what we also have here is the absolutely gorgeous hunk Richard Madden from Game of Thrones.
Hello! No, not Game of Thrones, Bodyguard.
Well, also Bodyguard, both, yes, ma'am.
He is absolutely...
You've pinched and touched a nerve there.
Yeah,
I know.
He's my it man right this very moment.
My man crush
right now is him. And he's such a delightful person. When you see him being interviewed, he's funny and an interesting person, and a damn good actor too, isn't he?
Absolutely. And although not so nice a person here, again, like Bohemian Rhapsody, he plays the manager / lover, John Reed.
Yep. And by all accounts, John Reed was, there was never very many interviews with him. Mm. So Madden couldn't do the research by looking at different interviews. There weren't any, and he's a very private man now. Lives here in Australia and a bit of a recluse, a multi-millionaire recluse.
And look, like anything, you know, we'll never know the truth of what went down, but what I do like about this film, and it's the same with Bryce Dallas Howard from Jurassic Park films as his mum, Sheila, characters are complicated. You know, they have good in them and they have bad in them. And I like that this film gets in amongst the kind of grey area.
Well, isn't it all about the times? You know, because it stops just when he meets his partner David, doesn't it? It really stops about there. And because Elton was, it was overdoing the drugs and the alcohol and all that, and it was all that probably coming down that he was this bitchy, nasty, horrible person, and it comes out of the film. Is that right?
Yeah. Look, and even though David and Elton are both producers, I feel like, again, unlike Bohemian Rhapsody, I feel like Queen manipulated.
They did, and I heard they did
to really make themselves look better.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think Elton shies away from those complicated things, but there's also a brilliant line late on with his mum when she's kind of questioning his, you know, larger than life lifestyle, and he does make the point, you know, yeah, I've made mistakes, but you know what, I've also really enjoyed my life. And I feel like this film is a lot less judgmental.
Now also with it, which is very different to Bohemian Rhapsody, even though we get a lot of that performance stuff, this is sort of like a semi musical in a way.
Yeah, look, now, so it still is a fairly standard biopic formula, you know, for better or worse, that, you know, it does what you expect. Where it is a bit different, and you're right, David, is that it has semi-fantastical interludes that really that play with his songs, often in different arrangements.
Yeah.
And they will have, you know, quite stunning visuals in there. I really like that playfulness and the fact that it is slightly more, it's a little less linear in the way that it tells the story.
Yeah.
But also is actually a bit more truthful in the facts, whereas, again, Bohemian Rhapsody took a lot of liberties with the truth.
Yeah. From the previews I've seen, the costumes, which we know that Elton, they were, you know, amazing costumes, but I think they've taken it one step further, haven't they?
Look,
the costumes.
This film is absolutely gorgeous looking. I really love this. It's 4 stars for me. I would encourage everyone to get along, especially Brilliant. If you're a fan of Elton's music.
Yeah. Well, I like Elton, but I'm not a huge fan, but the interest in this is, and social media has just been crazy with everyone just loving it. Yeah, I haven't had one negative.
And I suppose the difference with this one is that there's been some direct involvement with Elton. Elton's had direct involvement in this movie rather than the previous one with Rami Malek. It was more the Queen people rather than Freddie, wasn't it?
So absolutely.
That probably changed.
And they wanted, and they did change it a bit, because I read one at one stage, they said, oh, there's not enough of us in it. You know, will you do something about it?
Yeah, look, I just think this one has come together a lot better. And I think Dexter deserves the credit as well, that this is more a complete vision rather than being sort of helicoptered in as a disaster saver.
Yeah. You know? Well, can't wait to see it, actually.
Absolutely. Another great little Australian documentary this out currently at the moment as well, 2040, by writer-director Damon Gammell, who you might remember from That Sugar film, where he did a documentary that really took off, had a bit of a, you know, internet movement behind it about all of the hidden sugars and supposedly healthy food. And the sort of effect that sugar has on you. And this has got a very similar premise, in that he kind of acknowledges that he has a young 5-year-old daughter, Velvet, and he turns on the nightly news, he hears all about climate, you know, crisis, and you panic and you don't know what you can do and you get overwhelmed by it.
Yep.
So this film really, he goes around the world on carbon offset flights, it must be said, visiting projects that are already happening, whether it's, you know, in America there are seaweed farms that can reduce the temperature of the ocean as well as providing food and fuel. There, in India, he goes to villages that have micro solar grids rather than being connected to a national energy, you know, supplier. They're doing their own thing on a small scale and sharing what they need. There's Australian farmers going back to the old ways of allowing animals to till the land rather than having mass industrial responses. Look, it's really great, and again, it comes with a website where you can, you know, you can go along to the What's Your 2040 website, plug in the things that matter most to you, and it will give you solutions that you can get involved in based on what you're passionate about.
Okay. Yep.
So instead of scaring us, the idea is that it's actually trying to get people sort of excited and engaged about how they can look after our planet.
Yeah, the things that I really like about that is that it's such a positive outlook instead of this like really overwhelmingly like we're doomed.
Yep.
There's
yep.
no turning back.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing we can do. It actually like feels like a really good outlook.
Exactly. I mean, if you feel like if you get so overwhelmed by the doom, then what's the point of doing anything? Well, you're just right. going to roll over and die.
Well, exactly. I mean, you want people to take some sort of action. It's not the inaction. I mean, like you're more tempted to do something if there's some sort of positive outcome that you can see out of it.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the strengths of the way that Damon approaches documentary. I think he knows how to have fun with it. He makes it really easy bite-sized kind of approaches that you feel that you can get involved in. So look, that was great. I'm going to give that 3.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. Good Australian film again. Get along, see it. One thing I wouldn't bother with, we might skip over very quickly because I want to talk about something that I love, but Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Oh my goodness. Now,
well, there's lots of publicity for it, isn't
there? There is. Have you ever heard the term polishing? I'll let you finish that one. Look, this is... I'll start by saying that I really loved Gareth Edwards' 2014 reboot of Godzilla. I thought it was a really... You know, it was a great balance between being a big, spectacle, shock and awe blockbuster that had... The beauty of an art house film.
Was it Matthew Broderick? Was that the one that he was in?
No. This is sort of the next reboot.
Oh, right. Okay.
There are so many Godzillas out there, David. I do not blame you. It's hard to keep track. But look, this is just absolutely dire. It doesn't understand what it's doing. It doesn't get the scale. It can't balance the size of the monsters and the panic on the ground level.
Well, we've got an expert that knows all of that sitting here in the studio as well, but he hasn't seen it, have you?
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, look, this one just does not have any of that 2014 awe. It doesn't have the attachment to the characters. I was so bored. It tries so, like, almost laughably hard to make this logical. Oh, and you're like, this is a film about giant monsters fighting each other in Boston. Stop. Quit the logic.
Oh, is Boston the town, is it? Because I haven't seen any of them.
Even that
well.
Seems like a really stupid mistake to me. Like, there's literally a 2-minute sequence where Washington, D.C. is getting destroyed. Meanwhile, the vast majority of the final act is in Boston. Now, I'm sure Boston on the ground is a beautiful city. Like, I'm not bashing Boston. I've never been. I'm sure it's brilliant. It's not exactly littered with world-known, you know, landmarks.
They're small buildings because it's where they're...
Such a low-level city, and I'm like, you don't understand the point of these films. You need it to be, you know, really recognisable globally. Landmarks getting destroyed.
Maybe they got a tax break from the
goodness
Boston
knows.
Government
goodness
or
knows. Very, very quickly, because I know we're on time now. But I just want to massively rave about a little tangent onto television and say I have literally mainlined one of the best programmes I have ever seen on television.
Whoa, better than The Bodyguard?
Do you know what? Richard Madden's not in this. That's about the only way I could get another star. But look, this is Chernobyl, created by Craig Mazin. And it's
as in what we know, you know, like the disaster.
It's a five-part dramatization of the destruction of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, the explosion.
Yeah.
The complete inaction, the cover-up, the horrendous results of, you know, insane levels of radiation seeping out, and just how close Europe came to being annihilated.
Wow.
Which
is it true? Is this true?
This is absolutely true. Okay. And the more you read about Chernobyl, the more you realise that while we were sleeping in our beds, we nearly faced an explosion up to, like, you know, 40 Hiroshimas that would have devastated Europe while this fire went on and on and on for days.
Yeah.
This is incredible television, spine tingling.
So it's not a doco, it's actually
dramatization. Right, okay. And so what we've got Jared Harris, who was King George in The Crown, and Emily Watson, who was in Gosford Park. They play two scientists basically battling the apparatchiks of the Soviet Union, trying to cover this up as the first priority rather than saving people.
Wow.
And Jesse Buckley, who was in Beast recently, is amazing as the wife of one of the firemen who was a first responder. And Stellan Skarsgård, who I love, who was in Melancholia, he plays Vice Chairman Boris Shibernia, and this is staggering television. So it's on Foxtel Now and Foxtel Showcase.
Okay. What's it called again?
It's just called Chernobyl.
Right, okay.
5 stars.
Wow. Wow. I must catch
stunning.
Up on it.
Yep. Stunning.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen.
Absolute pleasure.
Russell, for, and thank you for liking Rocket Man. I'll go and see it.
Go, David.
I'll go and see it.
You're on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.